looking at the US over this past week, there's been a slight change in the way that markets are looking at US economic prospects. And it's there in one or two pieces of data. And what it is basically that, you know, previously the US was one of the strongest economies running through 2024. You know, its growth rate was running around trend or a bit above all the way through the course of the year. There's just the first hint that that might be starting to give way. And, of course, it's partly to do with people's fears around, it's all well and good to sort of get some more efficiency by cutting out public sector jobs. But, you know, that may start to cut into consumer spending, which has been the mainstay of US growth over the course of the past year. And, yes, the tariffs, they do favour US-made and US industries, but they do come at a cost in terms of the higher input costs and, yeah, how easily those might be to pass on. So it's just this little bit of a doubt creeping in about US economic growth prospects, and particularly whether that gives some leeway to do something different from what it's been saying over this last month or so, which is, you know, we brought interest rates down a percentage point. We're now at 4.5%, but we're in no hurry to really go much further. And so, you know, the market's starting to question that. And so where it's starting to show in some of the data reads, well, it's in things like consumer sentiment and consumer confidence. Last week we had February consumer confidence came out, and that did take a tumble. It's on revision, it was 105.3 going back to January. That came down to 98.3, and it was well below market expectations of 102. So just a sense there that consumers are becoming less confident about spending. It's there in some of the housing data too. We had a few housing readings there last week. For example, we had January new home sales. Now, admittedly, they had a big boost going back to December when they rose by 8.1%, but that was more than chopped off by a 10.5% cut in new home sales in the January numbers. And the pending home sales, which are a forward-looking indicator of home sales, they've been soft for a couple of months now. So January pending home sales, minus 4.6% after a minus 4.1% going back the month before. So some softness running through those as well. So just this concern that we've got these pressures which are just starting to build through. And it was there also in personal spending. It's interesting, in January, personal income rose strongly. And that's one reason to continue to think, well, you know, sort of things can turn on a dime here. You know, we can still get a return back to stronger readings because personal income was up 0.9% in the month. That's one of the strongest ones we've seen of late. But it wasn't requited in personal spending. Personal spending fell 0.2% in the month of January. And we can see just the first hint of the cuts to public sector jobs coming through in initial jobless claims. The weekly initial jobless claims for the most recent week, they jumped to 242,000 from 220,000 going back the month before. You know, we've spent last month or two hovering in the low 200,000s to mid 220,000s. We've had this bounce, and it's taken us back to where we were about 3 or 4 months ago. When I say a bounce, it's actually a weakness because, you know, these are people claiming unemployment benefits in the US. So just that hint of softness running through there. Also, we had the latest core personal consumption expenditure. Now, when the market turns towards thinking things are softer, they start to interpret softness everywhere. And so this wasn't a particularly soft reading. The January core personal consumption expenditure deflated, the alternative that the Fed prefers when it's looking at inflation in the US, it was actually up 0.3% month on month. But because going back a year ago, we had some big hefty increases at that time, it brought the annual rate of change down to 2.6% from an upwardly revised 2.9% going back the month before. So they latched to that fall in the annual rate, even though if you're looking at 0.3s, which is roughly where it's running most months now, you're annualising at 3.6%, and so, you know, you are going to get a lift again. So, you know, this is one of the anomalies that's running through all of this. For the time being, looking at softness, But at the same time, there are some risks in that. But for the time being, that's allowed bond yields to come down for a period. I don't think this is by any means permanent. You know, I think we're still going to get some stronger numbers out of the US as we go ahead. And looking into the numbers that come out this week, one of them is tonight. We get the February ISM Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index. Now, manufacturing has really lifted in terms of expectations with everything that Trump's doing. Whether you like it or loathe it, he is putting America first, and particularly American manufacturers first. For the first time last month, we saw the manufacturing PMI jump above the expansion contraction line at 50. It went up to 50.9. It's the first time it'd been there in 4 years above the above that mark. So that was quite a strong result, and is expected to continue with the February ISM. So the market expects that to be at 50.6. Also, we've got the non-manufacturing PMI coming out on Wednesday, and that's still running pretty strongly, 52.8. And is expected to lift a little bit to 53. So, some of the strength, expected to show through there. But the key figures this week are probably going to be the labour market data, and that comes up with, average hourly earnings, non-farm payrolls, and the unemployment rate coming out on Friday. And at this stage, February average hourly earnings, last month we had that bounce in earnings where it was up 0.5% in the month. And as a result of that, we had the annual rate of change running at 4.1%. It's very strong wage growth relative to inflation, which is running mid to high twos on most indicators at the moment. It's expected to be up 0.3%, still be at 4.1% year on year. So that's pretty strong growth running through there. Non-farm payrolls will be interesting just to see whether there's a hint of softness still continuing there. Last month, we had 143,000 going out. When I say softness, it's not really a soft number, but it is relative to the month before, which is over 300,000. But that's still pretty strong employment growth. Actually, the market expects that we'll get 156,000 for non-farm payrolls, so it's not that weak. And the unemployment rate holding down of 4%, so still a very, very low unemployment rate. So, we've got reasons for a lot of volatility running through here. And whilst the market's questioning whether the Fed can get some leeway to actually cut interest rates further, that could easily dissipate as we get some of these numbers which are going to be bouncing around. When we're looking at most of the lead indicators, other than those relating to consumer spending, they are important, those ones. The leading indicators are still strong and still pointing to US growth being relatively firm as we go ahead. I won't say too much about the political position there. Obviously, there was a complete storm in the meeting between President Trump and President Zelensky. All it did was it highlighted the way that President Trump sees the world, and that is the world is not a world of diplomacy as we had in the past. And it's not a world where about the rule of law and who's right and who's an aggressor and who's not. It's all about deals. And his view is that you have to be on the strong side of deals. It's why he likes Putin, and he has a grudging respect too for President Xi. This is a deal-driven world where the rights of a situation don't count. And so this is something that's very, very different. But there is an upside to that if you happen to be in the US. And if you happen to be in the US, this is very much putting America first and getting rid of some of that expense that went with supporting the rest of the world. And so that's where we have to sort of look at this in many ways. And one way is that it's actually US positive when you're looking at their economy. Relative to the rest of the world, it's been done at the expense of the rest of the world, but that's the way in which things obviously are moving. When we go to China, last week all we had was right at the end of the weekend, we had their manufacturing PMI came out for the month of February and the non-manufacturing PMI. The manufacturing PMI actually went up from 49.1 to 50.2, and the non-manufacturing PMI went up from 50.2 to 50.4. So a little bit of improvement running through China for the time being too. So, you know, some small improvement running through there too. This week we'll get the cakes in versions of those. They'll come out, the manufacturing one later today and the non-manufacturing cakes in PMI in the middle of the week. And it looks as if they should improve too. They were both at over 50 last month, 51.0 respectively going back last month. They look as if they'll be around the 50.4, 50.8 level for both of those as we go through. So a relatively positive number there for China. Then moving to Australia. And, well, last week, you know, we had a number of indicators which, you know, will add into the GDP result, which comes out this week. We get our Q4 GDP on Wednesday this week. And amongst those that came out, we had the Q4 construction work done. The interesting part about this is a hefty upward revision to the previous quarter. Previous quarter in Q3 originally came out at 1%. That was revised up to 2%. So unsurprisingly, that means that, you know, the expectation for Q4, which was at 1%, it couldn't quite make that, but we did get another rise of 0.5%. For Q4 CapEx, similarly, we had an upward revision to Q3 from plus 1.1 to plus 1.6. But we did have a fall, minor one, for the fourth quarter. The expectations on CapEx, we always get an expectation. This was comparatively soft. It was only up a very small amount compared with the previous revision. Also last week, we got the monthly CPI. And the monthly CPI is still a strange beast because it doesn't have everything in it. It tends to get more and more as you go through the course of the quarter. But what was interesting was that the headline CPI was steady at 2.5% year on year, but the trim mean, that actually went up to 2.8% from 2.7, so it actually went in the wrong direction. A lot of focus was on the headline staying at 2.5%. But having said that, the low point for the monthly CPI was 3 months ago when it was down to 2.3%. So these last 2 months have been a little bit above that. Sure, they're in the middle of the Reserve Bank's zone, but yeah, they're not that low. They look as if they're on the edge of just starting to show some signs of increasing. Moving to Australia this week, we get a lot of more components for GDP on Wednesday coming out, Monday and Tuesday. So we get things like government spending, we get things like Q4 business investment, company profits, they come out today. Q4 business investment spending, sorry, inventories, these are inventories, but Q4 inventories are expected to be flat quarter on quarter, but that was after they fell by 0.9% going back the quarter before. That's actually a contribution to GDP, quite a significant one, and so that will add to the GDP that comes out on Wednesday. We get Q4 current account deficit comes out tomorrow. That's expected to be down about $11.8 billion. That's better than the $14.1 billion deficit that was there the quarter before. Market thinks that will mean that net exports detract about 0.1 percentage points from GDP. They only added 0.1 percentage points to GDP going back the quarter before. We also get January retail sales come out. They're expected to lift about 0.3% after being down 0.1% the month before. Q4 GDP at this stage, a few things to watch. Some of the revisions we've had that I mentioned last week mean that the previous quarter's GDP may be revised upwards. It was at 0.3% quarter on quarter, 0.8% year on year. There's a chance that could be revised upwards, which the market's missed so far. And the Q4 GDP, market expectation is 0.5% quarter on quarter. That will be the strongest quarterly growth in GDP we've had in 2 years, and that would lift the annual rate of change from 0.8 to 1.2. There's a fair chance that the 0.8 going back to Q3 might be revised up to 0.9, so that means we're going to be running 1.3 or above probably for the Q4 GDP when it comes out on Wednesday, so pretty strong figures. And on top of that, we got some January building approvals coming out on Thursday. They were up 0.7% month on month going back to December. And they are up year on year, up 5.6%, probably still going to be up around about 5 or 6% year on year when we get the January number. But the other thing to watch, of course, is we're in pre-election phase at the moment, and we've had a large number of spending initiatives coming out on a regular basis. And undoubtedly we'll get a few more before the election is finally called. If you looked at everything that's been promised, real government spending is now at its highest proportion of GDP since World War II. So it's just ballooned, and this obviously is going to be a support for spending inside the economy, albeit coming from the public sector. But we've also got the private sector, which has been coming through from late last year. So that's where there's still this stickiness for us, for the RBA. And one of the most interesting features, I think, over this past month has been that if you went back a month or so back, US bond yields were running higher than Australian bond yields. Well, now it's completely reversed. Australian bond yields are running higher than US bond yields. And the reason for that, I think, is that it's becoming more and more certain here that the Reserve Bank has less leeway to cut interest rates than the Fed, looking out over the course of this next 12 months. And so that's the that's the pressure points which are building through all this. Moving to Europe, obviously we had Mr. Merz, who for the CDU, who is now or will be the head of a coalition that will be running Germany, and has already promised a significant lift in defence spending. You're going to see that all the way through Europe after what happened at the weekend. There's some stronger government spending coming through, albeit through defence industries. And where are they mostly centred in Europe? They're largely British and German. So there's definitely a sort of boost for those economies that come through over time from much of this. But it's just looking at Europe, and it looks as if we could get a stronger edge coming through. But for the time being, Europe is also probably still in a position where the ECB can bring interest rates down even further. And so we've got an ECB meeting coming up on Thursday, and they're already down to 2.75% for their deposit rate. There's a possibility they could cut again, and that's another 25 basis points, taking their interest rate down to 2.5%. So although Europe has been languishing, there's some reason to expect that we could see some improvement running through European economic activity. I think a whiff of that has come through in the way in which European equity markets have outperformed over the course of the past month, considerably outperformed relative to the US. So just watching this as we go through. Over the course of this week, watching Australian GDP, just watching to see whether in the US they can continue to look towards softer economic growth ahead and potential for interest rates to come down. I think that'll be coming to an end before very long as they move back towards recognising that interest rates in the US are going to be very, very sticky, and inflation is going to be very sticky too.